afternoon and welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's Labor Day weekend. I guess we've all labored hard for all year. Now it's time to take a long weekend. And wouldn't you know that we got a tropical storm dumping rain and wind on us, and it's just making a mess of opening day of dove season. Now, a lot of you out there saying opening day of football season. Yeah, it's college football time, and I'll enjoy a few games. But, you know, this has always been the Labor Day weekend, first weekend in September, has always been kind of when my year has always started. It's growing up as a kid in the country, you know, dove season kind of offset the going having to go back to school. And so I always look forward to dove season more than anything in the world. And it's going to be fun this year. I've got my own field again. Taylor and I've got a place to go shoot together. And I hope you're finding time this weekend to do something outdoors. And not just, yeah, okay, I'll give you a little bit of couch time to watch some football. Cause it's fun and I enjoy it too, but make time to get out there this weekend. Cause as soon as the storm gets out of the way and the weather settles down, it's going to be nice. And, there's plenty going on. Going to hit a few calendar ideas, for you. And then I've got I hope I can get this little story before I have to take a break. Sundrift Adventures, they are having their big sale. Friday, September 9th to Sunday, September 11th is a store-wide sale. They're going to have live music, food trucks, a beard competition. I would lose that. I have a little bit of one, but I can't grow a full one. Giveaways. They're getting all their rental equipment's up for sale. 50% off summer sandals and apparel. Just a lot of stuff going on up at Sundrift Adventure. So if you're in the Traveler's Rest area next weekend, could be something you want to go check out. Maybe you pick up something used and try it out before you sink a lot of money into something new. National Wild Turkey Federation has a Learn to Deer Hunt 101 class. It's going to take place down in Edgefield on September the 17th. You can go to the National Wild Turkey Federation website, look for more information, but it's pretty much a morning till after lunch. And it's just an introduction to how to deer hunt. Deer season's open, lower part of the state, comes in here the 15th. So, you know, for you that don't know, for kids that don't know how to deer hunt, this is for you. Check out the National Wild Turkey Federation. They've got a lot going on. In fact, I'll be there that weekend for a conference. So if you're there for that class, keep an eye out for me and, you know, maybe get your picture taken and talk to you. And hey, could end up coming on the show and tell me about what you learned. The same day, Saturday, September 17th, this is an important event for our beaches and rivers. It is the annual beach and river sweep held across the state. It's put on by the Sea Grant, the South Carolina Sea Grant Consortium. They beach locations and river locations all across the state, organized in partnership with the Department of Natural Resources. It's the largest one-day litter cleanup of South Carolina beaches and waterways. It's always the third Saturday in September. Thousands of South Carolinians volunteer to come out, boats, canoes, whatever you can do to help. It's been held since 1988, and it needs your help. It needs volunteers. If you'd like to be a part of it, anyone can participate. You can get together a group, be an individual, family, and you can get assigned to an area. Or if you have an area you want cleaned up, then you can become a site captain. I urge you to check them out. Go to the Department of Natural Resources or the Sea Grant Consortium. Get some more information, their contact information, and cleanup sites. And you can find one near you and take some trash off of our South Carolina waterways. Charleston Taylor's Cup. It's the first tournament here. It's by Bad Fish TV is who's putting it on. And we're actually going to talk to Marty here shortly. They are putting on a fly fishing only redfish tournament. And speaking of fly fishing, I have been getting worn out by my fellow fly fishing anglers. I apologize. It's been a busy year, but I promise you I haven't lost sight of throwing the long rod and a little hair with a hook on it. Fall is coming. I'll be out there again, and I know you will be too. But anyway, Charleston Taylor's Cup is coming up. It's Friday, September 23rd is the captain's meeting. That's mandatory, and they're going to have a barbecue dinner. Saturday the 24th, lines in at 6 a.m., and it's awards and reception at 6 o'clock that night. You can find more information at Taylor's Cup. Just Google it. It'll bring it up. I'm not sure whether it's off the Badfish website or whether it's got its own, but the Taylor's Cup, T-A-I-L-E-R-S Cup, and go fish some salt water. And right on the heels of that, one of my favorite places in Charleston is Low Country Fly Shop. man, Scotty and Brighton and those guys, not only can they help you out with the saltwater side of things, but they can help you out with the freshwater too. They have a lot of freshwater tackle down there. And they know a lot. I mean, Scotty guided in Alaska for years. Brighton fishes up here in the mountains quite often. I think he's out in Colorado right now. So now they can help you with your Western trips too. But they're going to have, and this is really cool, the second annual Charleston One Fly Tournament. We're going to talk to Paul Puckett, and he took a whole year and used nothing but one fly. And it was an amazing thing. But anyway, for this tournament, you only have to stick with it for a day. And it's really fun. It's the party at the shop there in Mount Pleasant. It's Friday, October 21st, captain's meeting that night, and you're going to fish on the 22nd. And as they like to say down there, hurricane or not, we're fishing. So, and they got some pretty good tides to do it on, and we'll talk to them a little bit more about this tournament coming up. We're going to get Scotty or Brighton to come on. But anyway, you can find more information there at Low Country Fly Shop down in Charleston. And coming up December 2nd and December 3rd, just north of us across the border, is the 8th annual Western North Carolina Fly Fishing Expo. It's held at the Western North Carolina Ag Center. Always a good time. We'll try to get somebody on to talk about that, but they've got booths with vendors. They're going to have casting demonstration, fly tying demonstration, speaker presentations. Always a good time. $15 admission. Children under 16 are free. I urge you to check that out. And I hope I've redeemed myself a little bit with my fly fishing friends. Speaking of which, I'm going to be up in Cashiers, North Carolina shortly, speaking to a fly fishing club up there. And, should be interesting. They're probably more technical fly fishing guys in that room than I will have ever been around. And I hope I don't mess up too bad. But I wanted to kind of stay in the vein with fly fishing. It is an article that came out that I absolutely love because I agree with it wholeheartedly. And if you've never been on a mountain stream, you probably don't understand the effect that water can have on you. And my life is filled with a lot of stress. And when I had some health problems back more than a few years ago now, my doctor told me, he said, you need to find something to do during a certain time of the year where you can relieve some of that stress. And I've been fly fishing since I was a kid, exclusively probably for the last 10 years before I started picking up and bass fishing again. Of course, I go, you know, fishing on the pond for brim and all of my kids, but fly fishing has really played a real part in keeping me from getting overstressed, I guess you'd say. But this came out in Anglers Club magazine, and neurobiologists say fly fishing is good for you. And I could have told you that, but anyway, here's what they say. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that fly fishing is good for you. Or does it? The Harvard Medical School's Department of Neurobiology recently published an article that compared fly fishing to yoga in its ability to relax the brain and combat the ill effects of everyday stress. What is it about this so-called quiet sport with its incantation of rod, fly, river, and nature, a sport of both health and strategy that helps lessen stress and calm the brain? That's the question the article asked Harvard Mahoney Neuroscience Institute letter. So they did a study and says mankind has learned over millennia how to turn off stress by breaking the train of everyday thinking. What better example of this than fly fishing? With the repetitive back and forth motion of the rod and fly and line, you're focusing on where that fly is going to land on the water, and that breaks the train of everyday thought. The negative physical impacts of day-to-day stress in modern society are documented. More recently, science have identified the so-called relaxation response, the purposeful initiation of a physical state of deep rest, one that changes a person's physical and emotional responses to stress. When practiced, the relaxation response slows down breathing rate, relaxes muscles, and reduces blood pressure. Doctor's orders. Yoga has long been the prime example of an activity based on the purposeful pursuit of a state of relaxation. The Harvard guys compare fly fishing to yoga and say a fly fisherman is removed from the real world, surrounded by nature, and disconnected from phones and electronic devices. I have to caveat here. You got to turn them off to be really disconnected. But fly fishing has been compared to meditation in that fly fishers perform a single repeated task, often for hours on end. The motion of fly fishing is part and parcel of the activity itself and may contribute to its calming effect. More than 38 million Americans fly fish, says a survey by the Outdoor Foundation that found that 38% of Americans who say they're considering taking up fly fishing will do it as a means to relax and reduce stress. So there you go. You have it straight from Harvard. For all you guys out there that want to take up a new hobby, fly fishing is the way to go. And I trust me, it's time spent on the river with a fly rod in your hand is never wasted. So take it for what you will. You got some tournaments and some other fly fishing events coming up. Stay tuned through the break. We come back. We're going to talk to Marty and Paul, and we're going to check in with Anthony Gagliardi about the FLW Cutback Lake Murray. So hang with us through the break. We'll be back on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's always something out there, and I've been getting some grief from the fly fishing guys. Why aren't you covering more fly fishing things? So, you know, fall is always a great time for fly fishing in South Carolina. And when you combine a ball and a Taylor's Cup, it's just a recipe for a great weekend. And we're glad to have Marty from Bad Fish TV on the show with us today. Marty, how are you?
I'm good, Roger. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Bad Fish TV. I mean, where does that name come from?
Actually, my partner and I, it was the name of his 19-foot sea craft was Bad Fish.
Okay.
So that's, that turned into Team Bad Fish when, we would go out there and try to tear it up. So that was, about 7 years ago now.
7 years ago. So, for 7 years, I've been missing out on some of the best videos I've ever watched, right?
Well, we didn't start the site,
okay.
Actual badfish.tv, until 2 summers ago.
Okay.
So you haven't been missing out too long.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
But you've been missing out.
Yeah, because I've been missing out because last night when I was looking at some of these things, I was like, wow, has videography just come so far in the last few years?
Yeah, it has, and honestly, it's in the whole outdoor world, I think fly fishing has really been the most progressive and kind of really led the charge, which has been fun to watch.
Yeah, I guess what, the Fly Fishing Film Tour would have been the first foray into shorts of fly fishing?
Yeah, and then, you know, all these people go and see the film tour and they're like, hey, you know, I can do that, or I want to at least try to do that. And, you know, anybody with a GoPro nowadays can put something really nice together and get out there on the internet and get people pretty excited, so it's pretty badass.
It is. Well, badfish.tv is the website. I encourage you to go. Last night when I was watching it, oh man, of course you saw the guys from Flood Tide on there, Doug Rowland and Paul Puckett and those, and then Bear Holman down in Louisiana. Even saw some water I hadn't fished in a while, which is down around Marco Island. I mean, I just pulled up, you know, search flats fishing, and there were some Marco Island clips in there. I was like, wow, it's been years since I've been down there, you know, kids and college and that sort of thing coming, get in the way. But if you're into fly fishing and are just good fishing videos, this is a site you need to check out. But, you guys are coming to Charleston here next month. Got probably a pretty good weekend going. Tell us about, well, I guess the cup, and I'll get Paul Puckett to come on and talk about that. But tell us about the Taylor's Cup that's going to happen in Charleston on September the 24th.
Sure. So, you know, we're originally from New England, but we moved out to Charleston a couple years ago. So, you know, we've obviously fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this would obviously be the perfect spot for our first tournament. So this is the first tournament we're hosting. You know, we're excited. We weren't sure what the turnout was going to be like to start out there. You know, we would have been happy with, you know, 10 boats would have been a good time, but
sure.
So far we've got 25 boats signed up.
Wow.
And more popping on every day. So, it's going to be, you know, we want to go for the good time aspect.
Yeah.
You know, not competitive, but, really more about bringing, some anglers together from all over the Southeast and kind of have a good time.
What's the format of the tournament?
Two man teams.
Okay.
Fly fishing only.
Okay.
Catch only. Top three fish, most inches win. So you know, you can measure your three fish. If you're that successful, catch three, which is pretty tricky in the low country.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the most cumulative inches win.
Okay. What Taylor's Cup kind of speaks to me that it's going to be, you know, some shallow water grass fishing. What are the tides going to be like that weekend?
So we have a low tide early in the morning.
Okay.
I believe around 9 o'clock. And then that kind of afternoon around 3, there'll be a pretty solid flood tide. So you'll kind of have a lot of different options, you know, whether you want to get out there in the morning.
Yeah.
Or sleep in, get out in the afternoon and try to, you know, get some tails in the grass or fish all day. It'll definitely be a lot of different opportunity and, you know, some challenging but exciting fishing.
Sure. Yeah. Now, how do people get registered to fish the Cup?
Yep. You can go to taylorscup.com. Probably search it on Facebook, Taylor's Cup. You know, the event page is up there. It's got all the details, but taylorscup.com has pretty much everything you need.
Okay.
We've been lining up a pretty sweet raffle so far and bringing on some more awesome brands to give away some sweet stuff. So
okay.
Hopefully everybody will leave with
something.
At least some sort of treasure.
Yeah. Well, I want to, now that we've covered that, I really want to go back over to the Badfish TV side because you sent me a top secret password last night to an unedited or first cut series of videos on Blue Ridge. I know, you know, kind of leafing through, I see videos posted by, you know, here and from there and all, but you actually, it looks like you've got series that come out from time to time produced by Badfish.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the stuff we've been doing so far is still kind of behind the scenes, but, our big push is to create these mini series.
Okay.
You know, we all grew up watching a lot of, you know, fishing TV and you know, the Sunday morning fishing shows. And, you know, we've kind of noticed that, as you see, too, the content is kind of changing, and people are really enjoying these more, you know, short form.
Right.
Specifying on Facebook and these videos that you see in the film tour. So, you know, we want to really start pushing these, you know, these series that they don't have to follow the rules of TV.
Okay.
So they can be, you know, any length and no commercials, no ads, and, you know, more for people that are watching it on Facebook and on other social media platforms. So we're launching two series this fall. One is called the Guide Series. It focuses on five different guides all across Southeast. So
okay.
You saw Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
We saw a file there. And then we also did Louisiana, Key West, Charleston, and Apalachicola, Florida.
Okay.
So nice span of different fishing and really five very different guides. So we're very excited about that project and more excited to get it out. So hopefully we can do that soon.
Okay.
And then the other series is a couple of bass kids. From the Midwest, a couple of YouTube stars, and we sent them on a road trip to Ontario, Canada from Chicago and did like everything that could possibly gone wrong did. So that'll be fun to watch too.
I watched part of that one and, or at least the trailer for it. And he said, and there goes the lower unit. So it sounded like it was a fun trip.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't even seen a lot of it too. So I've heard it's pretty wild and they end up in like a tornado and
yeah
storm. It'll be fun.
Oh me. Well, like I said, folks, if you're listening out there, you're a fly fisherman, you know, please go check out Badfish TV. Some great trailers, some great videos. When I logged in last night, it asked me to sign up. Is that just so you can send me notifications or whatever? Is there something else coming, or how does that work?
Yeah, we like it. So, you know, when you sign up, you can kind of curate the content, you know, in whatever way you like. So if you like all fly fishing, you can set up so you only watch fly fishing.
Okay.
And those are the only videos that pop up in your feed. But if you're a spear fisherman or, you know, offshore fisherman, you can, you know, put those that you see those first. So,
okay.
Of course, to personalize the site, to upload the site, and keep track of videos you've watched. So it's free. It's pretty simple. Don't ask any. Yeah, you don't need your social security number or anything.
Right.
More to help you and just kind of a better experience on the site.
I got you. Well, there's a submit video button up here. So if you've got you got somebody out there that loves to go up in the mountains and fly fish, or loves to go in Charleston and wants to get involved and be a part of the site, how do they go about that?
Yeah, very simple. So, make your video, upload it to YouTube or Vimeo.
Okay.
And you just copy that link and you submit it right there. Put the location in. It doesn't have to be exact. We don't give away any spots or anything, but it's just to help, people can find if they want to see something that's from Tennessee or, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple. Then, we approve it, make sure it's, safe for all ages. And that's about it. And then, hopefully you see it up in the feed. And we're working on some new steps to, let you know when your video's been reviewed and,
okay,
and submitted and all that. But,
The really cool thing is you can sit here and watch great videos like you're there of places you may never get to.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you've got a chance to check out the map page, but up top there's one separate page called the map where you can get a nice shot of the whole world, and little pins pop up where all these videos are across the world. So, if you want to see something from the Seychelles or Panama or anything, you can just kind of cruise around and find some cool videos. If you're planning a fly fishing trip to Florida, you can explore some different areas and see what people are catching and see some awesome stuff to get inspired for.
Yeah, I just clicked on that link, and sure enough, there's a map of the world, and you can there's 277 videos from the Southeast, so pretty covered there. So badfish.tv is the website. Taylor's Cup is the website for the Facebook link for the fishing tournament. I encourage you to get out and be involved. You guys, I'm sure, will be all over this that whole weekend, won't you?
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely set up, get a little video out of it for sure.
Okay, very good. Well, Marty, I appreciate you coming on. Anytime you guys have something that's fly fishing or fishing related, let me know, and we'll try to get you on here and talk more about it.
Absolutely, Roger. Thank you for having me, and hope to see you down there, so.
We'll do it, Marty. Take care. Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's amazing all the people you meet doing something like this. And one of those people I've met and run into at different events is Paul Puckett. He's an artist, all around good guy and an incredible fly fisherman. Paul, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, well, thanks, Roger. Appreciate it. I think I'm a better artist than a fisherman, actually. My streak lately has been pretty bad on the water, but hey,
what?
I'm trying to get better every time.
At least you've been out on the water. Do you know how long it's been since I've had salt water touch my feet?
Man, well,
it's been a while.
You're not too far away, so you can't have too many excuses. But being that we are on the water here,
yeah,
I'm starting to get out a little bit more now that it's starting to get seasonally a little bit better
for
the fishing and sailing water. So, that June, July, August, I don't really get on the water as much, but it's starting to happen again, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I've seen some real good reports coming off the flats from like Jeremy and some of those other guys. Harry.
Yep. It's starting to get good.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, look, we're just gonna bounce around this morning, but I guess the first thing is the Fall Taylor's Ball y'all got going on. It's coming up September 9th, real close. Tell us a little bit about that. It's the second one, isn't it?
It is. It was just an idea, to help promote our business, Flood Tide Company, but also give people an excuse or a reason to come in town, and we usually plan that event around good tides.
Okay.
So the idea is to promote the fishing around here, promote the business, and also just have some fun. We have some raffles from people all over the country, whether they're artists, businesses, and so we try to raise a little money for a charity that I got involved with a year ago called Casting for a Cure. It's based out of Oregon. So we kind of clung on to that. So we've kind of combined having a good time with also trying to raise some money for a good cause.
Yeah, and it's in conjunction this year with the Taylor's Cup, which is happening on the 10th. So people can make a weekend
actually,
of it.
Actually, that's a different one. The Taylor's Cup is on the 24th.
That's
in the Lowcountry.
Fly
Shop event, I think, is on the 10th.
Yeah, okay. I'm all mixed up.
Two different ones. They're both worth coming and checking out, though, for
sure. Well, you got the Taylor's Ball coming on. The Palmetto Brewing Company is helping you out. Flood Tide Company. You know, it's you guys, it's you and Doug Rowland and Will Abbott. And you got some really cool stuff out there. To be a South Carolina company, I love South Carolina companies, and I love some of the names. You got the Hundley Shorts, the Sol Laguerre collection. So you kind of play off the whole Charleston thing. Tell us a little bit about how Flood Tide came into existence and what people can find when they go to that website.
Yeah, sure. Well, the way it started, my background typically has been cold water trout fishing.
Okay.
Until I moved to Atlanta in 2004, which Atlanta is perfectly based for that as well. You're an hour away from trout fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started kind of getting the knack for wanting to do more saltwater stuff. And also for the art side, I wanted to start diversifying my artwork and start doing some saltwater stuff. So I started going to the Georgia coast a lot, and then I started being in the Seaweed Art Show in Charleston.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I started coming to Charleston a lot. So that combined with my wanting to saltwater fish more, I eventually just had to move to Charleston. So right before I did, I kind of came up with this idea. And I was doing artwork for Patagonia and True Flies and a few other companies. And then I decided, why am I doing artwork for other people when I can start this? I mean, these shirts that I'm doing designs for are selling well.
Uh-huh.
So a buddy of mine in Atlanta, Will Abbott, who you just mentioned, moved to Beaufort.
Right.
I moved to Charleston. So we kind of combined forces and tried to make this thing more than just a hobby. Let's say, you know, we're making a couple shirts here and there. Let's start trying to really make an apparel company, and that's kind of how that started back in, I'd say, 2010, 2011.
Okay.
And it's just kind of grown from there.
And so you do the artwork for it, and I love some of your artwork, A Fistful of Clousers, the playoff, Pale Rider, and some of Clint Eastwood stuff. And then you got a little bit of the alien thing going on. And I'm not a creative person, I don't think.
You're making radio, making things happen.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting to be honest with you, is to know I'd have at least a little bit of creativity left in me. But how do those ideas come to you? How do y'all decide on Clint Eastwood and A Fistful of Clouser Minnows?
You know, that's kind of how the company started, with those ideas, taking everyday pop culture events and putting, making, like, forcing fly fishing upon them. Like that that stern look that Clint Eastwood has from, I don't remember what movie it was from.
Pale Rider?
It's
one of the B-Westerns he made.
Yeah, it might even be Fistful of Dollars.
Might have been.
Yeah, so, but just that stern look on his face, and then just throwing a fly rod, you know, or a steelhead in his hand, just, I don't know, it just, those ideas actually came to me pretty easily during that period of time, over about a year and a half. And same thing with the Predator. Like, the Predator is a top predator. Well, so, you know, a tarpon, aside from being a shark, being a top predator, a tarpon, as far as game fish, is a top predator.
Yes, sir.
But the idea, you know, the idea was, let's throw a tarpon in the Predator's hands. I mean, it's just, I don't know. And those ideas just came along, and we're starting to expand the company.
Yes.
And because, I mean, Will and I's background is freshwater trout fishing.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
And we've kind of, you know, Flood Tide has got a name for itself as far as saltwater clothing, but we're starting to expand and trying to be more of a anything from mountain to cold water streams to saltwater. So we're trying to kind of make it a more general lifestyle company as we go in the future.
And if you look on the Flood Tide, you can find it at www.floodtideco.com. That's their website. You can find, you know, the great shirts, retro designs on your hats and that you had out this summer. But I, you know, you're also getting into your performance shirts, shorts, you know, everybody likes a pullover and a hoodie. So you are, and it's a, has it been surprising how well it's come together for you?
You know, there's something, and it kind of gives me chills just thinking about it, but when you create something, and whether it's a piece of artwork or a piece of artwork you put on a shirt, and someone, you know, sends you a message about it, how much they love it, and they're spending their hard-earned money to buy our product, it's pretty exciting to see, to just go to the airport or go to a store and see someone wearing it. I mean, we don't take that for granted. We think that's so cool that, you know, people get behind it, support it, and spend their money on it. And it definitely doesn't get old, and it makes us keep wanting to do it better and do more of it.
Yeah. On the Flood Tide Company webpage, you got the Low Country Journal, which I guess is more of Doug's part?
Yep. That's all Doug, and he's gotten a new job recently, so he hadn't been able to do as much, get out on the water as much. But the plan is to expand that and maybe get more people involved that want to, every now and then kind of donate a video or whatever to make that Low Country Journal fresh and a little bit more updated.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But it's just a way to get, if you're sitting at work and get a lunch break and have nothing to do, get on there and watch some great films that Doug and a few other people have made.
Yeah, yeah. And you can also, people can, besides getting your art on Flood Tide shirts and all, they can find you out there, Paul Puckett Art, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, paulpuckettart.com.
And he's got some great photos. You know, you mentioned seaweed, and we've got a couple minutes left here in this segment. We were down at Seawee, and I ran into you there in the exhibit hall, and we were talking. You had a picture, you had drawn a picture of a redfish and on the flats, and I was looking, and there was a fly in front of it, and I was like, well, that just fits.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Because, folks, this is really fun, and I tell you, if you want to challenge yourself, whether you're freshwater fishing trout or like you did in the saltwater, which worked for you both saltwater and freshwater, is Paul picked out a fly in 2015. This is Mike, Captain Michael Bruner's fault. Don't blame it on me. I just mentioned it to you. You're the one that ran with it. But
yeah.
In 2015, you decided to make it the year of one fly. Tell me about that year.
Well, like you said, Michael and I had been talking about that fly, and Michael even mentioned, man, you could probably fish with nothing but that fly. And I think like 5 minutes later, you walked in and, I forget what our conversation was, but it was obviously about the Everglades Special, and we were talking about that same subject, and I was like, and it was like a week before the New Year turn. I think it was, it was a week before the New Year turn. I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fish nothing but the Everglades Special all year long. I had a tarpon trip, a Mexico for permit trip, and an Alaska trip, not to mention, you know, obviously fishing around here and going trout fishing, you know, in upstate. So I just, it would be fun. I knew it'd be a challenge more mentally than it would be actually catching fish on it, because it's a streamer for trout. It's a bait fish for saltwater. And obviously the only one that I hit a roadblock with was the permit. Yeah.
But
I came close a couple times, but it didn't happen.
And from what you tell me, your guide kind of put a gun to your head and said, you throw that thing one more time, I'm going to take you back in. You're never coming out again.
No, he actually said, I'm not allowed to throw another cast with it. Like, I was done fishing for the day, and it was the last day. It was about noon that day.
Yeah.
And I came all the way to Mexico to catch a permit, and the last thing I was going to do is not be able to fish. So I put a little white crab on my first cast of that. I caught a permit.
Well,
so,
I mean,
you
only had to bail on one fish, but you caught. How many fish did you catch? How many different fish did you catch on that thing?
23 species.
That's incredible. One fly. So,
yeah, it's cool.
There you go,
a lot
people.
Of fun.
You want to challenge yourself, pick a fly and stick with it all year. And you're right. That's got to be a mental game more than actually catching to make yourself stay with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I love flies. I love changing flies.
Yep.
I love, you know, manipulating these fish. And so that was the hardest part. But, you know, 6 months into it, I got pretty used to it. And I was only carrying around one fly box, and it had everybody's specials in it.
30 different kinds.
So, yeah, you know, sizes, rattlers, floaters, you know, so I could vary it up. That was the good part about it.
Very cool. Well, look, man, I can't believe it's taking this long to hook up on the air. Need to do this again sometime when you got things going on down there. Don't hesitate to give me a call.
Absolutely. We got to get you on our show, too. We'll make that happen.
We'll make it happen, Paul. Thanks much for spending a little time with me today.
All right, Roger. Thanks, buddy.
See you, buddy.
with Joey Hudson.
And I guess I have to say that I'm glad to hear him have some remorse, because he has said some things that he probably should not have said. And I think that people want to recognize the fact that he does realize that he has said some pretty stupid things.
Join Joey and Martine for straightforward, no-nonsense, intelligent talk on 94.5 WGTK, The Answer.
Hey, Mike Gallagher here. Do something for me. Stop and think about all the sounds you hear in a day. Voices, thunder, footsteps. There are thousands of them, right? Listen, if you can't enjoy something like your favorite music or your favorite talk show because it's muffled or the volume is too low, I mean, I love music, for example, so for me it'd be a huge loss. But if it became difficult to hear, the first thing I do is talk to the Hearing Healthcare about New Ears Now. It's the ultimate in hearing technology. It actually improves how you hear speech. If you're somewhere super loud or crowded, sounds still aren't distorted. There's no buzzing or whistling, and it even relieves tinnitus. It's wireless. You can connect it to your phone, your iPad, your iPod. Remember that music? It'll change a music lover's life. You'll hear music the way it's meant to be heard. Call Hearing Healthcare Center today for details. Make sure to ask about the rebates. 232-3999. That's 232-3999. Or online, go to enjoyhearing.com. Enjoyhearing.com. Tell them Mike Gallagher.
At Southern Fried Green Tomatoes, our customers often ask, what's the secret to your success? The answer is quality ingredients. While most restaurants have succumbed to the dollar menu, offering pre-cooked, frozen entrees, we've been making it fresh since 2006. Premium hand-cut meats, farm-fresh vegetables, and family recipes handed down through generations is what sets Southern Fried Green Tomatoes apart. Remember, seniors enjoy 20% off Tuesday and Thursday evenings, and kids eat free Monday and Wednesday night and all day Saturday.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, it was just a little over 3 weeks ago that we were in Huntsville, Alabama, the FLW tournament, FLW Cup, and they announced the 2017 Cup is coming back to Lake Murray, Columbia, South Carolina. And you know you had to talk to the reigning Lake Murray champ, that's Anthony Gagliardi. Welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks, Roger. Good to be back.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing this for me. First thoughts. Cup coming back to Lake Murray, your home waters. We still do not have a two-time FLW Cup champion. What runs through your head when you hear all that?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that it's just a little bit under a year away. So, you know, I'm not going to put the cart too far in front of the horse. But
sure.
I'm excited about the opportunity for sure. I know that it's going to require, you know, a lot of focus on my part this year. I need to make sure that I make it. And hopefully,
right.
You know, the last time that we had this thing here, the circumstances were, odd to say the least from the beginning. And it kind of, the year just, it didn't have a normal feel to it.
Sure.
And I don't anticipate getting disqualified from the first event this year or this coming year. So, it's going to be more of a normal type year, so I just have to make sure that I just maintain my focus and fish as well as I can and as well as I know that I can. So just to ensure that I make it, and I don't want to spend too much time. I really don't want to spend too much time looking forward to it.
Sure.
Not to say that I won't be preparing, you know, in some ways or in some fashion, but, you know, I'm not going to take any time away from, you know, my normal tournaments, you know, in order to prepare for that cup, you know, because I got to make sure that I make it first.
I forget exactly who it was. May have been Geddes Brandon. You know, we were talking after they added the Gunnersville stop, which made the season go from 6 to 7 tournaments. He wanted to know which two you were going to skip before you got to the cup.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, as wonderful as that year played out, you know,
yeah.
I'm not planning on trying to duplicate that process again. Yeah, I'm kind of glad. You know, I think that 7 tournaments is probably better, you
okay.
know, for a guy like me, that, you know, typically is more consistent, you know, than I am anything else. You
right.
know? So one more event, I think that, you know, it'll help those consistent fishermen guys, you know, you're consistent at making the top 50 and stuff. It's going to help them, ride to the, you know, into that upper echelon, I think more so than, you know, the fewer events you have, the easier it is to get lucky in a couple, or unlucky in one, and it just, you know, it can really skew the,
you know, the standing. So the more events you have, it tends to bear out that the more consistent guys have a better shot. So yeah. Hopefully that's the case for me this year.
Yeah. What do you think about the tour stops this year?
They're different. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. I definitely am. I'm really glad they added the seventh tournament on Gunnersville. And it's going to be a cold tournament. You know, we've not had a true cold water. You know, basically it's going to be a wintertime pattern. We've not had that in quite some time. And I like that. I like fishing that time of year. I won here on Murray back in 2006, you know, when we had a February tournament here. So I'm excited that we're going to have that. And the Lake Travis tournament. Also, it's going to be, you know, it's more than likely it's going to be really cold out there.
Okay.
When we have that one in February as well. So, yeah, I'm excited about having two, you know, they're not even going to be pre-spawn tournaments, I don't think. I think they're going to be pure wintertime pattern.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. And the rest of the schedule, too. I think it's good that we've mixed it up a little bit. And we're going to Lake Cumberland. You know, so it's a lake that, there's not a lot of guys that have a whole lot of history there. We've not had a lot of major tournaments there over the years. So. You know, it's somewhat of an even playing field as far as past experience and past knowledge. And you know, we have been there twice. I've been there twice with FLW. And it's a huge lake. It'll be a good time of year. So I'm looking forward to that one. Beaver Lake, I always like going back to Beaver. So I'm excited about the schedule. Yeah. I think it's going to set up hopefully well for me. But, you know, overall, it's a good schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you just said that, because if I decide to fish a couple of co-anglers, I'm going to skip the first two because I don't like to fish in cold weather.
Well, you know, but you know, from a co-angler standpoint, that's not a bad tournament to be in.
Okay.
You know, most of the time you're on deep water patterns.
Okay.
You're not going to be stuck in the back of the boat with a guy sight fishing. You know, so you have more chances, in my opinion, in a colder tournament to catch fish out of the back of the boat. So a lot of times co-anglers have a little bit easier, you know, it's a little bit easier for them to get bites and catch fish in tournaments like that. So I don't know, I wouldn't write them off just yet.
Well, that's interesting. I have no clue what I'm doing, but I really am thinking about fishing a few more of them. It's just a lot of fun. I think, you know, I think more people ought to do it when an event like this comes in and you see the schedule comes out and it's in your area or on your lake or something. I think it's great from a pro angler's perspective. What do you think about locals trying to get in more as co-anglers during some of these home lake
events? Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, if you're an avid fisherman, even if you're not necessarily an avid fisherman, if you're just somebody that likes bass fishing, you don't even have to be a tournament fisherman. It's kind of cool to get a first-hand view of what it actually is like, you know, at the top of this, you know, this profession, you know, at the top level. And you get some insight as to, you know, how guys at this level break down lakes, you know, different techniques and different patterns. And it's not always about what you read in a book. You know, there's a lot of good information out there, don't get me wrong, but to be able to sit in the boat with somebody and see firsthand, you know, what they're doing. And the thing about most of these guys on tour is, you know, if you have a question about something during the course of that, just ask them, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, they're guys are really, really good about explaining what they're doing and trying to help, you know, help go anglers as they ask questions. And it's just a really good way to learn, you know, a really good way to learn, you know, techniques and baits and just things that you might not be aware of, you know, not only if you're a tournament fisherman, but just to learn, you know, for going out and catching fish in general, you know, if you're taking your kids or if you're just going out with, you know, by yourself just to have fun. I mean, you definitely can learn a ton from being in the boat with some of these guys.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And I've said this before, and I used to give you guys just a horrible time when you came across the stage. And like the fifth word out of your mouth is, it's a grind out there. And I used to just cringe when you said that. But you're exactly right. Being in the back of the boat, now I understand what that word really means when it comes to bass fishing.
For sure. You know, it's a cliche, no doubt. But there's so much truth to that. You know, a lot of guys, you know, they think that, you know, all these pros, they go out and, you know, they're catching 50 fish a day. And
no.
It's just, you know, more times than 99% of the time, that's just not the case. And people would be surprised at how hard it is, you know, day in, day out, just to get five bites in a day, five keeper bites. I mean, it's just not always easy. Some lakes you go to, it is, and
sure,
you're more worried about trying to catch quality fish. But, you know, it's just catching a limit anymore it's not as easy as it used to be. I mean, it's just really not. I mean, fishing's definitely gotten harder. The fish have gotten more educated.
Okay.
As we've got had increased fishing pressure. And so there's just, it is. I mean, it is a grind in a lot of ways. And you do hear it an awful lot, but, you know, but there's a reason that you hear it so much. I mean, that's just because it absolutely is true.
It is true. More of a mental thing, too. That's what I found out. Hey, look, the weather's cooling off. Fish are going to start feeding heavy again, getting ready to fall. What, Lake Murray, if you're going to get out on Lake Murray in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, where would you be and how would you be fishing?
I actually fished a little bit for the first time last weekend, last Saturday. I fished a small tournament with a buddy of mine down here, and we did not do any good in the tournament. We had a good day as far as getting bites. We should have done better, but it's just starting to turn on, though, to answer your question. We fished shallow in the river. We went up the river and were fishing shallow wood, flipping and pitching, and probably had 12 or 15 bites during the course of the day. It was just a bad day on our part as far as getting them in the boat. But, you know, through talking with some of the guys at the weigh-in, the tournament was actually won down on the lower end or in the middle section of the lake on suspended fish. And so that schooling bite is just starting to turn on. You know, it's just now starting to happen. And as we start to get a few days, and we've had a couple of them here, we've had a couple a little bit cooler nights, and all it takes is that first, you know, these fish are just so tired of the summertime heat. And the first couple of cool nights that we have where the water temperature will start falling, once it starts falling a couple of degrees, it's really going to ramp up, you know, that schooling bite. So, you know, within the next few weeks, I would say it should get really good, down here in this middle section of the lake around your island. And then even farther down the lake, you're going to start to see some fish schooling. It won't be long before the stripers, you know, they start their annual schooling stuff in the fall. So that's going to be going on as well. And even if that's not what you're into and you're wanting to, you know, go out and just target fish, that bite's going to get good with the buzz bait and things like that as it starts to cool off up here in the upper portions of the lake where the water's got a little bit more color. So, you know, the fall is just a good time to fish.
It
can be tough, don't get me wrong, but it's a fun time to fish because the fish are feeding. You know, they're usually actively feeding either offshore, you know, suspended on suspended bait, or they start pushing into the backs of the creeks and the backs of the coves. And they push bait back there as well. So they're actively feeding on shad. A lot of times this time of year, the thing you're going to need to do to be successful is to downsize.
Okay.
And that's probably one of the biggest things, I think, that, you know, fall fishing, you have to remember is the bait they're going to be feeding on is usually going to be really small. So just downsize your baits, and that goes to your top waters. And, you know, liftless baits can be good this time of year when they get back in the creek chasing shad. But just make sure, you know, if you're not getting bit and you know you're around fish, just, you know, go to something a little bit smaller, and it usually will make a big difference.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you doing this. Let's stay in touch. Yeah, as the season gets closer, let's talk about that a little more. And
that's true.
And, you know, when something happens and you got something to talk about, just give me a holler.
All right, we'll do it. We'll keep in touch, man.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show today. It's been fun. It's been busy. I always enjoy talking fly fishing and fishing in general. But I want to leave you with this. May 22nd, 1866, the date that Oliver Winchester establishes the Winchester Repeating Arms Company to build the finest guns and ammunition possible. So they've been around for 150 years. How many of us own Winchesters? Anyway, as always, take time to get outside. Be safe when you're there. Look at Google Earth and take those back roads. And as always, don't forget that camera. See you next week on Woods and Water, South Carolina.